Man, all I got to say is if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Come on, somebody. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for being here. Welcome you to Bethel Assembly today. Come on, folks, let's put our hands together and welcome all of our online visitors. Let them know we love them and we appreciate them as well. And first of all, Connor's already said it, but I'll go ahead and say it again. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. One more time, let's put our hands together and give our fathers a little bit of love today. Welcome. Last week I was not here. How about Mr. Cole Hatfield last week bringing the heat and tearing it up? And so proud of him and proud of Marley, proud of their family. And so today is Father's Day. Father's Day. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the year. One of my favorite days to get to preach. Like, I love to preach to men. I love to preach to fathers. I think the direction of our world is directly tied to how we father our children. And I just believe we need to make fathers great again. Come on, somebody. I think fathers need to understand their importance and understand their role as fathers. I'll never forget Father's Day 2000. This old father's thing, man, got me emotional all morning long. What is wrong with me? And Cole says, Cody, you're a titty baby. Knock it off. Tubby and I were living in Guthrie, Texas, and we came back to Abilene to celebrate Father's Day. We came back to celebrate Father's Day with my granddad. And I'll just tell you right quick, I'm so thankful for my granddad. My granddad was one of those old generation known as the greatest generation. I'm thankful for the influence that he had on my life. My mother and dad divorced when I was 17 years old, and my granddad was always there. My granddad was not a perfect man. My granddad was grumpy. My granddad would get in a bad mood, but my granddad was faithful. My granddad was faithful to God. He was faithful. Sometimes he said dirty words when he rode colts and horses, but he was faithful, man. He was faithful to take us to church. He was faithful to love my grandmother. Mother for many, many years. He was faithful to raise his kids. He was faithful to raise his grandkids. And I'm just thankful for the influence that my granddad had in my life. And so we came back from Guthrie, Texas to celebrate Father's Day with him. Tubby and I, we had been trying. We felt like, how many of you know, we feel like our timing, we always know when timing is right. And we felt like it was time for us to try to have some children. And we just were not having any luck getting her pregnant. We were having a whole lot of fun trying, but we just weren't having any luck in getting her pregnant. Man, it's something that I always wanted. It was a dream of mine. And many of you know, I've told you this story, but I went to school, and when I was in high school, when I was a senior, you know, they elect the most athletic and the most handsome, and I was the most friendly. I was elected by my class most friendly, and they put my picture in the yearbook, and they ask us, what is your name, and what are your goals in life? And I just remember, even at that age, my goals were, I wanted to get married and have kids. God had just blessed me with a father's heart. I had been influenced by many men that had a father's heart and wanted to instruct and wanted to teach and wanted to raise the next generation up to another level. And I just wanted to be a father. And so we had been trying to have children, and I'm fixing to quit this ranch job. And we had this ranch job, and we had insurance with this ranch job. And so now we're going to move down here and move out on our own. And so we made the decision we don't need to be having a child in between insurance company. So Jennifer got back on the pill. She got back on birth control. We felt like the timing wasn't right. And one of the reasons I so vividly remember this Father's Day is we're sitting in there, and we had given my granddad his gift and his card, and Jennifer was adamant about everybody coming in the living room, and I'm oblivious to the deal, and she's got a card for me on Father's Day, and I'm thinking, what the heck, Tubby? I'm not even a father yet, you know? And so I remember getting my pocket knife out, and I opened this card up, and I felt something inside of the envelope. And when I opened it up, there was a positive pregnancy test. It was like a dream had come true in my life. It was like the Lord had heard my prayers, and He had honored my prayers. You know, that's like I told you all my life. I just wanted to be married and I wanted to be a dad. And, you know, being called dad, can I just say this to you today? Being called dad is a special title that you and I get. There was a poet one time named William Wadsworth, and he said these words. He said, Father, to even God himself, we cannot give a holier name. We call our God Father. And I just remember after Jennifer got pregnant and my kids were born, I remember being called Dad for the first time. I remember hearing my kids say, Dad, Dad. I remember they called me Pops now. What a corny name, but that's what they call me. And when my boys say Pops and when Clara says Daddy, it does something to my heart. It does something to my heart. And so I'm just thankful that God chose me, and I'm thankful that God counted me worthy and that God counted me responsible enough to be called Father. And I want to challenge you fathers today. Just know that Father is a great blessing. Being called Father, being able to father children, that God loved you and God trusted you enough for you to be called Father. I'm thankful for the father figures that I had in my life. I would be dumb, and we would be dumb to pretend like that there's people in here that want to be fathers that can't be fathers, or people in here that didn't really have a biological father. But can I tell you this? Be thankful for the father figures in your life. Be thankful for the other men. And if you're not blessed enough to be a father, then be a father figure to someone else. Love someone, encourage someone, and try to help someone. I just remember when I was a kid, I had my granddad. He was always that father figure to me. I was always the kid, the youngster. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody chose to father me. Come on, somebody. I guess it was because I was so rank and so ignorant and so stupid and so dumb, but there was another man named Ricky Snowden that was a great friend of my granddad's, and man, he was just a father for me. I was roping when I was a young kid. It was a big deal for us. We rodeoed, and I had this paint mare, and then my paint mare died. I had nothing to rodeo on, and this friend of ours named Ricky Snowden came along and said, I got a horse you can ride, and he came over to our house, and he turned out calves for me, and he encouraged me, and he loaned me his horse, and I just remember him being a father figure in my life. Another father figure that I had was a guy named Bobby Thompson. He was an old cowboy. He run the Triangle Ranches. I loved Bobby Thompson. I wanted to be just like Bobby Thompson. I creased my hat like Bobby Thompson. I wore the boots that Bobby Thompson wore. And Bobby Thompson smoked non-filter Camel cigarettes. And I tried my best. I wasn't stout enough, but I tried my best. And I remember one time we were branding calves at Tongue River Ranch, and Bobby was dragging calves. He was the best calf dragger I ever seen. And he's healing these calves, and he's bringing them to the fire so we can flank them and cut them and brand them and all this. And we had a little break going on over there, and there was about five of us young cowboys. I'm standing over there with my Camel like Bobby. I'm smoking. We're all smoking in this circle right here. And Bobby catches a calf, and as he rides by, he stops the whole branding, and there's five of us standing there, and he chewed my butt out for standing over smoking cigarettes. Didn't say nothing to nobody else. And at the time, I was like, why are you chewing on me? And now I look back, and he said we were his adopted grandkids, and he loved me enough to father me and to be a father figure in my life. And so I just always wanted to be a father, and I wanted to have a father's heart. And I'm still growing in that. I'm still trying to mature in that. But I really believe with all of my heart, with all of myself, besides my own salvation, and besides my marriage, the greatest accomplishment in my life is being called Dad. So you know what? I just want to say to Will and to Jesse, Will's not even in here. He doesn't even listen to me anymore. Oh, there he is in the back. To my kids, I want to say to you three, you light up my life. I love you. Thank you for loving me when I was an idiot and when I jumped down your throat. I want to say to you, thanks for trusting me, for respecting me as a dad. Thank you for calling me and when things get sideways in your life. Thank you for forgiving me when I mistreated you, because I know that I have. Thank you for teaching me, for being an example to me. Thank you for telling me that I'm your best friend, whether I am or not. Keep telling me that, please. Thank you for making me proud. I couldn't be prouder of you three. Thanks for calling me Dad, and thanks for calling me Pops. Once again, being dad is one of the most cherished callings in my life. And so I want to say to all of you fathers, yeah, make me cry some more. Go ahead, yeah. So I want to say to all of you fathers, to all of you soon-to-be fathers, you want to be fathers, to all of you father figures, I want to say something to you today. Let's talk about fatherhood. Let's talk about manliness. Let's talk about men. Let's talk about testosterone. Come on, somebody. All the things that I love, all the things that we need in the world that we live in right now, all the things that society is trying to tear down. This message that I'm going to preach to you today about manliness, about masculinity, about testosterone, about fathers being the spiritual leaders of our home, our society is trying to attack that and take it away from our culture. And I'm telling you, we're not going to listen to what society says. We're going to listen to what the Word of God says. Because I'm telling you, the enemy has set out from day one to destroy the fatherly figure and the male role model. Because y'all believe this, you destroy male leadership, you destroy masculinity, and you destroy the plans of God. Even the Lord knows this. At one time in the Old Testament, Israel had a wicked, wicked king. His name was Ahab. Ahab had led the nation of Israel away from God. They were no longer serving God. They were now serving Baal. They were worshiping false gods. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm fixing to destroy Ahab. I'm going to stop his wickedness. I'm going to stop his leadership. I'm going to wipe his name off the face of the earth. And here's what God said when he made judgment against Ahab. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 8. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. God said, I'm going to stop you. And here's how I'm going to stop you. I'm going to cut off the men. I'm going to cut off the males, because God knew how important it would be for males to lead that nation. I'm going to destroy them. Can I tell you something, fathers? You are called to be shepherd of your home. You are called to be the shepherd of your home. The shepherd lives with the sheep. The shepherd spends time with sheep. The shepherd leads sheep to still waters. The shepherd leads sheep to crystal clear waters and green grass. We are called to be the shepherds of our home. You are the leader of your wife. You are the leader of your sons and daughters. And we need to make sure the way that we're leading them is leading them to green pastures and leading them to still waters. Can I just be real with you? One of the problems in our world today is we have fathers who are still trying to sow their wild oats and live out their own dreams and their own desires, and rather than leading their wife and their children to green pastures and still waters, we are leading them to dry and barren places of chaos. And the biggest thing that some of our children are having to overcome is the poor leadership of the shepherd, of the father God has placed in their lives. It's time for us men to get a hold of this and realize we have to lead. Because can I tell you something, fathers? There is a target on your back. I'm just shooting you straight. There is a target on your back, because God knows if he can destroy the shepherd of that family, he will devour the family without that leader. The scripture teaches us this in Mark chapter 14, verse number 27. Mark chapter 14, verse number 27. And Jesus said to them, "You will fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Can I tell you, men, you got to be a man. You got to be strong to be a father. You got to be strong to be a father. You got to have some testosterone. You got to be a man. Being a father is not easy. It is always going to be a struggle. You are always going to be challenged not to lose your patience. I'm telling you, being a father is tough, but there is a reason that God created fathers to be men, because men are tough and men are strong and men can take a little bit more weight. And fathers, it's going to be hard, but keep shepherding and keep leading and keep being that example for your children. Listen to some of the scripture that the Bible tells us about us men, about fathers. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, dads, be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. How many of you fathers feel like everything I'm saying to them knuckleheads is absolutely in vain? They're not listening to me. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Keep doing. Keep leading. Psalm 144:1 says this. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Look at me, fathers. Look. You are trained by God to be a warrior, to fight for your children, to fight for their protection, to fight to provide for them, to be all God has called you to be. It's going to be a struggle, but God has trained you for that, to provide for your family. Can I say this? It is our job, fathers, to provide for our children physically. Yes, praise God, get a job. If you don't have a job, get a job. Come on, somebody. If you don't have a job, get a job. There is a job out there. You can do something. God has called you to provide for your family physically. But not only that, God has called you to provide for your children emotionally and spiritually as well. Oh, don't get quiet on me, men. You need to be the one that's providing for your children spiritually. Can I tell you something? There's not much any more powerful than for a child to hear his father's voice praying over them. There's not much more powerful than to go in there and pray with your 18-year-old son who is in the middle of changing seasons in life and having some struggles and having some trials. There's nothing more powerful than the voice of his shepherd and the voice of his father speaking over him and praying and asking God Almighty to move on his behalf. There is nothing much more powerful than a father praying over his young daughter who is struggling and in pain. Can I tell you, fathers, you got to provide physically, but you got to provide for them spiritually as well. It's what God has called us to do. I love 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Samuel chapter number 4, verse 9 says, "Take courage and be a man, O Philistines, lest you become slaves to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." Be men and fight. You will not hear this preached very much, but I believe there is a generation, a younger generation of our sons and daughters, and they need to see a father that is willing to fight for them and willing to fight for what's right. We live in a world right now where if you start talking about biblical masculinity or you start fighting for the purity and the innocence of your children and your family, they will label you as somebody that is a troublemaker. They will label you and say you're not politically correct. Can I tell you, our sons and daughters need to see a man filled with testosterone. They need to see a man that will stand up and fight and say, "I'm not giving my family and my children over to society. And if it makes you mad, and if it upsets you, just be upset, because God has called me to be shepherd, and I'm going to fight for what's right in my family." Our children need to see fathers with a little grit and a little something in their belly and willing to fight for what's right. When our children see
I've
got to settle down, right, Tubby? I know. We don't need any more fathers. Little mealy mouth, little soft, little, "I'm not going to talk to my children about this. We're not going to discuss that. Oh, this is uncomfortable." We need fathers that are willing to talk about the tough stuff and fathers that are willing to fight, because it does something for your children. When they see you fight for them, they will rise up and they will fight for you back. Kids need to see their children fight. Fathers, I want to say this to you today. You matter. How you live matters. The example that you set matters. How many of you love Billy Graham? Come on, somebody. He's America's evangelist. So many words of wisdom that he left us with. But I love this quote that he left us about fathers. And here's what Billy Graham said. "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet most valuable assets in the world we live in today." So I want you to know, fathers, today, you are praised, you are noticed, you are valuable, and how you do and what you do directly affects your sons and daughters. Let me give you a few extras. I believe this. I believe you change the way we father will change the entire world. I believe it'll change everything. Can I say something to you? How many of you dads have daughters? Come on, somebody. How many daughters will mess you up? Can I hear a good amen? Like, raising them two knuckleheaded boys was way different than raising this baby girl over here. Can I say something to you, fathers? Show your daughters affection. You say, "Cody, I'm old school. I don't know how to show affection. I don't know how to say I love you. I don't know how to hug my daughters." And here's what I would say to you on that. Then learn how. Because if fathers don't show their daughters affection, I'm telling you, about the time she gets to be 16 or 18 years old, she's going to go out in the world and look for the affection from some other man. And I say it's more important to get affection from your dad than it is from some 16-year-old hairy-legged boy in the back of a Buick on a county road in Jones County. Come on, somebody. Really, show them affection. Play with your children. Play with your girls. Have tea parties with them. Learn to brush their hair and fix their hair. I used to say this all the time. I used to say, let your daughters paint your toenails. Until I had Clara. And Clara said, no, that's gay, Dad. I'm not doing that. I was like, yes, that's my girl right there. Teach your daughters to back a trailer, y'all, because I promise you're going to need to back up and load some cattle one of these days. Teach your daughters, show your daughters how a woman is supposed to be treated by the way you treat her mother. Fathers, it matters. If you have sons, can I tell you this? Teach your sons how to shake hands. No dead fish, limp wrists, kind of soft little handshake. Teach your sons to shake hands, to look them in the eye. Teach your sons how to work, how to sweat, how to get a job, how to give back to society. Teach them to drink black coffee. Come on, somebody. Teach them how to build a fire, roughhouse with them. Teach them how to be a man. Show your sons how they need to treat their wife one day by the way you treat their mother. Can I say something to you wives and you mamas right quick? Love the fathers of your children and love your fathers. I get it. We're just men, right? Remember that old song Tammy Wynette sang, Stand By Your Man? Because after all, he's just a man. Us men are going to get it wrong. Us men are not always going to get it right, but I want to say to you, respect your father and respect the father of your children. Love them. Learn how to let them know. There's many fathers, and you work, and you provide, and you love, and you cook, and you take care of, and you've done it so long that everybody just expects it from you. Can I tell you, if you have a man in your life that is a good father to your children and loves you, you know what? Let him know that you appreciate what he does. Let him know. Learn his love language. I'm going to get down and preach to y'all a little bit now, so. Don't give up on me. Love languages, all these different love languages. There's words of affirmation. There's quality time. There's acts of service. There's gifts. There's so many different things. Learn what your husband and learn what the father of your children, learn what his love language is. Like mine is quality time and mine is acts of service. Baby, sit with me, be quiet, and then show me you love me by serving me in whatever capacity that might mean. Learn to love them and learn to respect them. Most of all, I'll say this to you men. Be a godly father. Above preacher, above cowboy, above breadwinner, just be a godly father. Be someone that sets an example for them. Father, your children are a blessing from God. If I have to hear one more father or one more mother complain about their children, oh, these children are driving me crazy. Oh, these children are costing me money. Oh, I'm losing my patience with these children. If I hear you say that one more time, I'm going to knock you out. Because the Bible says in Psalm 127, 3 through 5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, they are rewards for us. They're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Did you get that? The Word of God likens our children to arrows in the hands of a warrior. And if you and I are warriors and we raise up good, godly little children, when we stand in the gates of the enemy, we can shoot out our children and our children will bring defeat to the enemy on our behalf. Children are a blessing from God. I long to and I pray for a world where fathers' hearts are turned towards their children and children's hearts are turned towards their fathers. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6 says this. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6 says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I would come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Can I say this? Dad, you ought to be your children's hero. Live in a way that they look up to you and they want to be like you. I want to close with one more verse. Be manly. Be tough. Be strong, teach them to work, show them affection, but most of all, love your children. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now faith, hope, and love will remain, but the greatest of these is love. Love your kids. Make sure your kids know that you love them. Many people will say this, I would do anything for my kids. Let me ask you a question. Look at me. Look. I would do anything for my kids. Would you give them your undying love, and would you give them your time? That's the question. Would you give them your love? Would you give them your time? You know what? Teach them all of those things. Love them. You know what love means? Love means apologizing to your children sometimes. How many of you had to do that? Apologize to your kids. Be humble. Love them. Show them. Lead them. Be present in their life. Spend time with them. I want to say this to you men. Look at me. Look. Settle down just a little bit. Settle down. They're kids, man. They're kids. Settle down. Love them. Slow down just a minute. Calm down. Your kids are going to make mistakes. Your kids are going to mess up. Your kids are not always going to do exactly what you want to do. Slow down. Settle down. Love them and correct them with love, and don't just chew their butts out. How many of you done that? I have. Slow down. What kind of love do we need to love our kids with? Let me read to you. It's a biblical kind of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not jealous. Love is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love. Everybody shout love. Fathers, I want to say this to you today. You matter. You matter. Fathers, you rock. Fathers, you are called to be the leaders. Is this task of being a father daunting? Is this task of being a father sometimes scary? Is it sometimes heavy? Yes. Will you make mistakes? Yes. Walk humbly. Keep trusting in God. Keep repenting. Keep growing. Keep loving. Keep mimicking. Here is the greatest bit of fatherly advice I can give you. Keep watching your heavenly Father and keep mimicking Him, because He loved us with patience. He's always been kind with us. He never was jealous. God the Father, when we look to God the Father and when we mimic Him, that's what God has called us to do, so that our children will see the love of God the Father inside of us, and our children will be connected to our heavenly Father. Connor and the worship team, come help me close. Keep trusting, keep repenting, keep growing. With the Lord's help, you got this, Dad. You got this. God challenges us to be better. I want to give you a mandate today. My mandate is this: let's make fathers great again. Let's make fathers great again. I would challenge you. We've been in this series called Moments. We've been talking about all these moments in the scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation, these moments that are life-changing, these moments that we never forget. Can I challenge you, fathers? Let's create some moments with our children. Let's create some moments with our daughters playing dolls. Let's create some moments with our sons teaching them to work. Let's create some moments that are teaching them to pray and loving on them that would change their life forever. I want you to hear me on this. We don't have to be perfect dads. We just have to be present, and we have to honor God. And you know what? If we're present with our children, and if we honor God and His ways, God will come in and He will fill up all the gaps. Praise God for that. I want to ask you if you'd stand on your feet. I want to pray for you fathers as we get ready to close and sing a song of worship. Let's just do this. You want to, if your dad's here, if the father of your dad is here, won't you just kind of put your hand on their shoulder or reach out and hold their hand? If your dad is here, just pray with them for a minute. Because I want to pray for you and I want to pray for me, because being a father is a high and holy calling. Father, I love you and I thank you for today, and I thank you for being a good, good father. Thank you for being an example to us. Thank you for never leaving us and for never forsaking us. Lord, thank you for being a father that encourages us when we get it wrong. Thank you for being a father that empowers us to be all you've called us to be. Thank you, God, that you are always present. And I pray for the dads in this place. I know we live in a crazy world, in a wild world. We got to do this and we got to pay these bills and we got to do that. But Lord, help us as fathers choose to be present. just choose to be present with our kids and not always on our phones and not always watching TV. Come on, sis, you just welcome up here. They done made me a titty baby in front of everybody. Help us be present around the supper table. Let us be present in the living room. Be present sitting on the back porch. Just be present together and create moments of just being together. Help us not only to show our presence, but to show your presence, God. Help us fathers be the ones that invite the presence of the Lord into our houses and into our marriages and into the way we teach and train our children, God. Help us to be patient. Help us dads just slow down and be kind in the way that we speak. And sometimes I know we got to be hard as dads, but Lord, when we're hard and when we push our kids, help us to stop and just love them in the middle of the hard times as well and not talk down to them. Lord, I pray that the fathers in this room would be filled with wisdom. Not wisdom of this world, but wisdom that only comes from heaven. Lord, give fathers in this room discernment in how to lead and how to love and how to be our shepherds. Lord, let us fathers get our passion back to be called dad, to be called father, to be called pops. Get our passion back. Lord, let us know it's the greatest calling in the world. Help us to be steady. Help us to be protectors, Lord. Help us, fathers, a warrior awaken inside of us, Father, so that we're willing to fight for our kids and to fight for their innocence and to fight for what they see on TV and fight for what they watch on social media. Help us be willing to fight with everything that we've got against an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, help us to be peacemakers in our homes, peacemakers as we raise our children. Lord, I pray for the fathers in this room that you would give us hearts after your own heart, that we would have a heart that beats like the Heavenly Father. Lord, bless this day. Bless this moment. Thank you for all you do. Bless the dads. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.